The first reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset set as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 21, verses 23 to 32. The authority of Jesus questioned. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will ask also one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, may I speak and may we all hear in the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. The title given for today's theme is By What Authority? And you can see why, having just heard the gospel. So this morning I'm looking at how Jesus responded to the question, by what authority are you doing these things? And then looking a little at about what authority is, and then Jesus' own authority, and what does this have to do with us? As this passage starts, Matthew had previously just recorded Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, followed by his dealing with the profiteering in the temple. The next morning, Jesus went back to the temple, and when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Instead of leaping to justify himself, Jesus counters their attack. "I will also ask you one question," he said. "If you tell me the answer, then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" In other words, was John sent by God to proclaim and baptize for repentance, or was he just doing it off his own bat? Jesus had the measure of his interrogators. There was probably a mix of Pharisees and Sadducees in the group of these bigwigs, and they probably had divided opinions. They were also really frightened of causing public unrest, which would bring trouble from the Roman masters. So they took the only course open to them and said, "We don't know." So they didn't get an answer to their question either. It was not the time for that discussion. Jesus had times when his authority was clear, but he did not go around emphasizing it. However, there are points in the gospel when it's clear that other people recognized his authority. Matthew chapter 8 records the healing of the centurion's servant, and Jesus offers to go, and the centurion says, "No, you don't need to go, just say the word." And he follows us up with this. He recognized Jesus' authority and says, "I'm also under authority with soldiers under me." He knew authority when he saw it. And he knew that just by saying the word, Jesus, the servant, would be healed. Also, at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. It was there. People recognized it. So where did Jesus' authority come from? Let's go to his baptism and his transfiguration. The words from God on both occasions were, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus is God the Son. It is the authority of being God that he has. Authority is an innate part of who he is. No authority could be greater. Jesus himself, on a few occasions, few in the Gospels, both of the ones I'm quoting are from John's Gospel, he does say, "I and the Father are one." And also he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that is the "I am" which God used to Moses in the incident of the burning bush, when Moses said, "Who are you? What's your name?" And God said, "I am that I am." So it was a very holy thing, and a very, humanly speaking, a very blasphemous thing to say, but Jesus could say it. He is God. Paul writes to the Colossians, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In him all things in heaven and on earth were created. He is the head of the body, the church." I can remember having a completely expanded view of Jesus when I first read that Colossians passage. So what does this mean for us here and now? At the Transfiguration, God said something else, apart from "This is my beloved Son." God said, "Listen to him." If we want to be effective Christians, we have to first realize and then accept the authority of Jesus. He is no longer that baby lying in a manger. He is the Lord of the universe. Listen to him. Mercifully, Paul in Philippians, in the passage that has just been read, shows us that Jesus set aside this authority, this glory, to bring us the possibility of reconciliation with God. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on a cross. His innate authority was still there, but he chose to use it for our total benefit as he shared our humanity. In human society, a person's authority can come from a position held, perhaps, e.g. an army rank, the CEO of a company, a head teacher, or someone with great knowledge and experience gained who is referred to for information and guidance. Or even, you get authority simply because you've got a lot of money. But what matters to God is how that authority is exercised. In the body of Christ, that is, all who believe and trust in Jesus and are seeking to serve God, our first duty is to God himself. And this needs to set the tone for everything else we do, which is why we need to listen to him. We can be sure that Jesus really wants to speak into our lives by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we each need to make opportunities for him to do this. I just want to add that anything I'm saying in this service, I'm applying to myself as well. It was quite a challenging experience preparing this. Strangely, the whole question of authority was one of the steps God used to guide me into training as a lay reader, or LLM as they call them here. I worked in the schools department of Scripture Union for a while in between teaching. And I travelled round England visiting girls' boarding schools. I have to add that was back in the 70s. Occasionally, I'd be asked to speak in the school chapel. One such time, I'd preached at the morning chapel service and was invited to lunch with all the housemistresses afterwards. I'd also taught in a boarding school, so I was a bit used to this. During the meal, one of the rather daunting ladies leant across the table and said, "Tell me, what gives you the authority to speak in our chapel?" Secretly, I thought, well, good question. I think I said something about, well, I'm working for Scripture Union, you know, visiting boarding schools, and the headmistress invited me to preach. And mercifully, she let the subject go. But it made me think, am I really okay to be preaching? And eventually it led me to seek training as a reader, LLM. Readers, LLMs, hold a bishop's license, which recognises that they have been recognised by the diocese to have a calling to this ministry and have received the necessary training and to be thought a suitable person. That authority has to be renewed on a regular basis. Now I've reached a certain age, I have to have mine renewed every 2 years. So if Will thinks I'm not doing the job properly, he can say, no, I don't want to. To sum up, Jesus did not choose to answer the high priests and elders' question when asked. It was not time for a debate about authority. His betrayal, trial, and death were fast approaching, the greatest gift of love that he could offer us all, the ultimate humbling of himself to his Father's will. This is the Jesus we are called to listen to. It takes time to listen to him. It takes concentration. He can speak to us in many ways, through scripture, through the spoken word, through dreams and visions, and simply in the silence when we give him time in prayer. Jesus shares his authority with us too, and we are all included in the words at the Ascension when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But I'm therefore," when he says, "go therefore and make disciples," he's giving us a share in his authority. We can be bold to share the gospel. We have a gospel to proclaim. He said, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." All Christian people are to be involved in this. Every person has a part to play, however great or small. What we need to do is ask Jesus to show us what he wants us to do. And that may change over the course of our lives. We need to pray for the opportunities to do it and to submit to his authority. And he will do great things among us. Remember, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. Amen.